Well, we're continuing our Freedom Friday series this morning with Duane Ferguson. Duane served in the Army. He's from Audubon, and we're going to talk a little bit about his Vietnam-era experiences. Duane, thanks for sharing some time with us this morning.
Well, it's my honor and privilege to talk about my fallen comrades. We call ourselves a band of brothers, and, you know, that we're comrades forever. So it's very important, I think, you know, lest we forget about our fallen comrades and their families.
Absolutely. You served in the Army. You volunteered for your service. Why did you choose to do that?
Well, my grandfather was in World War I, my father in World War II, so I was kind of carrying out the family tradition, and also my son is serving now in South Korea.
Quite the family history.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's kind of going the opposite direction in the Vietnam era. It wasn't very popular to sign up. In fact, it wasn't very popular to serve at all.
No, it wasn't. I was a chaplain, and the bishop told me if that's where I felt God wanted me to go and be, that he would approve it. So he approved it, and some of the people I met over there who had escaped from North Vietnam said that they were very happy that we were there.
Boy, I bet. So when you went into the service, then you pretty much knew what your role was going to be ahead of time, correct?
Well, yes. I was in the Iowa National Guard 13 years.
Oh.
And then I became a chaplain in 1967 in the Iowa Guard, and then went active duty then in 1970 as a captain. You know, I was always a fan of General MacArthur and, you know, about the duty, honor, and country. And the sacrifice that all of our young people had made, you know, through the years. And so I just volunteered. And I served in various positions. I was artillery and as a rifleman and the chaplain's assistant and all kinds of stuff before I became a chaplain.
So you really had some experience ahead of time. Unlike a lot of folks who may have gotten drafted, gone through basic quick,
right,
and then were sent overseas, you
yeah.
had a pretty good idea what you were getting into.
Well, I had some idea. Of course, I had not been in combat, you know, yet, so I didn't know about that. And then, of course, when I was in combat, I had sandbags around my bed and I had in my hooch, and I had a piece of steel under my mattress, so when the first mortars came in, I would duck under my bed, and that way I was spared, because some of the shells various times blew up my my barrel of water right up side my front, so the shells came close, but that saved me. I had sandbags around me also.
Does it surprise some folks when you tell them some of your stories? Because people, I think, sometimes would think chaplain and would figure that you're probably not right there near all the action.
Oh, no. We're right. We were there wherever the soldiers were. One day I went down the road in my Jeep and visited some troops and took communion to him and came back, and the military police said, did you go down this road today? And I said, yes. And they said, well, someone's looking out for you because the road was mined.
Oh.
And it didn't blow me up. And, of course, I had a sandbag for my Jeep and a flak jacket on and helmet, but I was spared.
Yeah.
Another time I was out visiting troops in the hospital, and my office, I came back to my compound, and my office was blown up because the ammunition dump blew up. So it kind of spoke to me, don't sit on your back end in your office, be out with troops up and down the roads. I was with the engineers, so we're trying to help, you know, the South Vietnamese get their produce to market, help the farmers. So I felt we were doing something worthwhile.
Absolutely. Well, you saw the war from a different kind of a perspective then, too, because the type of assistance that you had to provide.
Yes, I had 39 memorial services. So 39 of those soldiers' names are on the wall. And also, of course, got a lot of Dear John letters, accounts of the soldiers who got those Dear John letters. And sometimes in the hospitals when I would be called upon when a soldier died, I would go over and the doctor would be crying and saying, you know, he did all he could to save that young man, you know, like an 18, 19-year-old. So we'd get a cup of coffee and sit down, and I'd just listen. You know, he did all he could do, but it was very emotional for him. You know, they worked hard and tried to save lives, but sometimes they couldn't.
Dwayne, how do you prepare yourself for that? I mean, all the training in the world is great, but you never really know how you're going to react to some types of situations like that until you're in them.
Well, my very best friend at the time was a minister who had been a chaplain in World War II. So he kind of told me some of this stuff and, you know, to prepare for it, and anything can happen. You never know what's going to happen. But we also believe in God's love, and so I believe all these 38,000-plus, you know, are in God's presence. And also there's about 19,000-plus that are unaccounted for from Vietnam.
Well, and not all chaplains came home.
No, 13. Yeah, 13 were killed.
It's always different when you listen to the stories from the folks that were there, for folks who didn't serve or didn't serve during wartime. It's difficult sometimes to hear those stories. Are folks shocked to hear some of the stories that you have to bring to bear once in a while? And are they tough to tell?
Yes, I think so, although I haven't said too much, you know, mostly just to the family, maybe a couple times, but not that much. Another thing I thought of was... I took the bread, moldy bread and food that we were throwing away over to a children's orphanage. And they would take anything, you know, it could be moldy, spoiled, soiled, whatever. And they would take it and feed the poor children. And the president of Vietnam at that time and his wife came to the orphanage and thanked the Mother Superior and everyone who was helping to feed the children.
Wow.
So I thought in a way we were, you know, again, trying to help the innocent children.
Well, and that's part of it, too. You know, what are we sent over there to accomplish? You know, you kind of have to keep the greater good in mind, too.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it's hard to do that sometimes when everything's going crazy around you.
Yeah, and I think another time, the miracle kind of, I would be out on the road visiting the troops up and down the roads throughout Vietnam, South Vietnam, and I remember visiting one group, and they said it was a miracle that the night before they had ran out of ammunition, and at the very same time they ran out of ammunition, the enemy withdrew.
Wow.
Yeah, so they were all very happy to be alive.
You never know who's looking out for you.
Yes, that's right.
Never know.
Yeah.
Well, of course, now this weekend, the Wall That Heals, the Traveling Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall, is in Audubon, and that's got to be pretty special for you.
Yes, it is. You know, it's a very emotional time, as I think, again, of us as band of brothers and comrades forever, to think about those and the families. And, you know, I hope the wall has a positive effect and maybe brings some healing and therapy. You know, the people that are there, maybe families, loved ones of some of them, or some who have served with them. But I hope that it will be a time when we can find healing and a kind of a connection through our common military experiences. And, of course, it's all about their sacrifice, you know, the fallen ones. It's all about them, and it's just a privilege and an honor to be called a part of the Band of Brothers.
Absolutely. Well, I know you're going to be part of the ceremonies on Sunday and then also on Monday too, as part of the efforts there with the wall. It's going to be a pretty packed weekend, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, the wall comes in here on Thursday afternoon, set up on Friday, then the awakening ceremony on Saturday, and then awakening ceremony Sunday morning, and then the closing ceremony Monday at 6:30. And a lot of people have done a lot of work for this. I just have a very minor part, but a lot of good people. There are over 250 Vietnam veterans in Audubon County.
And a lot of them are helping out in this project.
Yes, a lot.
Yeah.
I think the whole community is very supportive.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a really good place to live, and we enjoy living here.
Good. Well, I know it's pretty obvious why folks who maybe served in Vietnam or had families who did know some folks whose names might be on that wall, why they would want to be there. But why should others take interest in this, Dwayne? Why should, especially young people, why should children and young people be interested in this?
Well, you know, I think we need to honor the fallen and reflect on their service. Remember, you know, those who gave their lives for our freedom. You know, a lot of people didn't necessarily want to go to Vietnam, but they were ordered to go, and so they did their duty. And I hope that this will be a positive power, you know, on the lives of our young people. In fact, I just got a call. My granddaughter's boyfriend just joined the Army, so congratulations. You know, it's great. So I think it's important, you know, to value the sacrifices and the values of our veterans and all those who served. And I think, you know, in my sense, they're true heroes.
Absolutely. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then into Monday evening when they have the closing ceremony,
yes.
You'll have an opportunity to visit the John James Audubon Park in Audubon and check out the wall. It's 24/7. It's open the entire time
yes.
that it's there.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it'll be open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Great. Great. Good opportunity for folks to stop by. You don't have to be from Audubon to come by, and it's free. There are activities, there are things
yeah.
going on, so make sure that you get there and experience that and have a chance to honor those who served to allow us to be able to do these kinds of things day in and day out.
To me, I have a sense of pride, you know, to be a part of bringing honor to the forgotten. Could I give you one brief quote? I went to Abraham Lincoln High School in Des Moines. So I always read Abraham Lincoln, what he said at the Civil War, 1863. He said, and I quote, "We highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain." I think, you know, for their families. Because, you know, these numbers, sort of 58,000 plus, are human beings. You know, they had a childhood. They had a life. They had a future. And they had a family that's left behind. So I think lest we forget to remember them.
That's a great way to finish up, Dwayne. Thank you very much for your time. And
yes, thank you, and God bless you, and God bless America.
You bet. We salute you for your service. And, oh, by the way, happy
thank
birthday.
You. Thank you very much.